welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. You know, it's good, isn't it? I'm really so looking forward to the street angels going out. Yes. It's about the church getting on the streets. Yes. One of the amazing things is, for me, it's the best thing almost about it, is it's not Kingdom Faith doing it, it's the church in Scarborough doing it. Yes. Amen. And there's only one church in Scarborough. Amen. We've got some different congregations and some different labels, but there's one church. It's the people that know God. Amen. I don't care if you're a Catholic or an Elim Pentecostal or an Anglican or even Kingdom Faith. You know, even we're allowed in as long as we believe in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good. I'm feeling a bit full this morning. You know, we had a good time last night at the men's thing. How many of you guys were there? Yeah, I mean, there was a lot from KF. It was good. It was a good night, though. Packed out. I enjoyed doing the worship with such a different crowd. There were some good men singing. Men have a distinct advantage over women's conferences. I haven't been to many women's conferences. But I have been on the outside edge of them. Yeah, Dan has, but that's another story. You can ask him. He went to more women's conferences in Horsham than Kate did. It's more to do with he does the sound, of course. Don't get worried. Don't panic. He's Hallelujah. Except when you go to a women's conference, if you do, guys, when the worship takes off, it's... And it's like, oh, my goodness. Give me some bass. But last time, it's... I tell you, some of those songs that we did, You Are Champion of the World, it was good hearing that all these men, you know, you are champion of the world. That was good, I enjoyed it. Hallelujah. So we better watch out for the next one. Yeah? You know, I was saying I'm a bit full because of that, because we had fish and chips, and the night before we went out with Chris and Claire, and we went for a Chinese to... What do you mean we didn't? Oh, yeah, sorry. Now you know why in that other church video I couldn't remember Kate's name. Yeah. The other thing with Chris is I'm always calling him Daniel, because you know his surname's Chris Daniels. Bear with me, I'll get there eventually. Anyway, we were out with Mark and Judith and Brian and Shona celebrating Judith's birthday. And we're all in the same club together now. They're all going, really? Who would have thought it? Oh, dear. And we had a big Chinese down at the Ham Sang. So two nights of big meals. Cod last night and Chinese. And the little sesame seed toast thingies. Very nice. Which neatly leads me on to a story of two prawns and a cod. Get that link in. It's all right, I've not got one of those bets about can you mention this during your service. Might have to do a few of those. Anyway, there's two prawns swimming around in the sea, and their names are Edward and Christian, because prawns have very posh names. I don't know if you know that. They're quite posh, really, but you don't notice when they're in sesame seed toast. You just eat them. Anyway, Edward and Christian are swimming around and they're discussing, you know, what a rotten life it is as a prawn, because just about everything eats you. And they're trying to swim and get out of things. And Edward, it is, just says, I hate being a prawn. I want to be a shark. And at that moment, a mysterious cod appears and says, prawn, your wish is granted. And Edward the prawn is suddenly a ferocious shark. At which point, Christian, the not-ferocious prawn, swims rapidly away, totally scared. And Edward discovers that being a shark is not so much fun, because he's lost his friend. Yes, he's big and fierce, but he has no Edward. You're really getting into this, aren't you? Anyway, he gets so fed up of being a shark, he starts swimming around looking for the mysterious cod. And he finds him and he says, oh, cod, I want to be... what I was once before. You're getting there, aren't you? Anyway, the cod says to him, okay, and turns him back into a prawn. And he goes off looking for Edward. And he spies Edward in the distance. And he calls out to him, it's me, Edward, your old friend. I've found cod. I'm a prawn again, Christian. I have very secret ways of getting you lot to pray for me. God help the pastor. I like that one. All right, I said we were going to ask some questions this morning. What is commissioning? Why are we doing it? And what is God's will? Nothing to do with prawn again Christians. Hallelujah. Well, God's will is often sort of this mysterious thing, but it's actually very, very simple. There isn't anything complex about what is God's will. God's will can be summed up very, very succinctly. On earth, as it is in heaven. Yes. If it doesn't fit in with that, it's nothing to do with God. Mm-hmm. And if it does fit in with that, it's going to be of God. Yes. That's it. That makes things a lot simpler. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The very basic prayer, if you like, that Jesus taught his disciples. So whatever is of heaven, joy, peace, wisdom, health, wholeness, that is what we, as the people of God, are to release on earth. Yes. And whatever is of earth, sickness, disease, spiritual bondage, sin, violence, crime, we are to bind in the name of Jesus and release heaven. Amen? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see what is free to operate here is what is of heaven. And what is not free is what is not of heaven. Amen? So you're with me so far? Okay, well, if you've got a Bible and you want to turn to it, we're going to go to John chapter 1. Because I don't know about you, but I look around and I don't see the will of God in operation in every circumstance. Do you? No. Is it the will of God for children to die, for people to suffer, for there to be violence on our streets? No. Absolutely not. John 1 verse 10 says, "He was in the world," that's Jesus, "and so through the world was made through, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him." It's a problem today. If people could recognize Jesus, they'd want him.
Yes.
Why would you want to turn away anything that's this good?
Yes.
Do you want something that can restore your family? Do you want something that can put money back in your pocket? Do you want something that can enable you to go through the hard times and give you extra joy in the good times? Do you want something that can restore your body? I mean, who's going to say, "No, I don't think I want that, thanks, give me an Xbox." Thanks for the visual effects. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay, so we know that. But notice what it says is that these children were born not of God, not of a husband's will, not of a human decision, but children who are born of God. Because you can be certain that it is God's will for you to know the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? But a lot of people don't, and therefore they are the people who are of human decision or human will. So that's why you don't see everything exactly as God would have it. And there's different wills operating in this world. That's why the world is not operating in God's perfect will. There's people saying, "No, I don't want that." Okay? God is still sovereign. God is still overall. He will allow nothing to happen that's completely outside of his plan. But he does give people choice. Everybody has a choice. Now, this is interesting because I think we've got a commission which links in with where we're going, of course. All right, if you go to Romans 12... bit more of a teaching one this morning rather than one of my leaping up and down, bouncing all over the place ones. Hallelujah. God has just shown me something in this passage here that I've never seen before. Romans 1 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Okay, that's good. In other words, if you are going to be a Christian, don't just say it's something that you know about. Do something about it.
Yes.
Offer your bodies. All right, the person that says they know the Lord and nothing happens, waste of time. Offer your bodies. Do something about it. If you just sit and read the word, you're not going to get anywhere. It doesn't do anybody any good. Actually says this is your worship. But that's not the point I'm coming to. He then goes on to say, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Now that's what I've normally read, but I happen to be looking in another edition, and it just put it slightly differently, and suddenly things began to open up. Because what it said was, then you will be able to prove the perfect will of God, not approve. Because when I've read that passage before, I've sort of looked at it and thought, yeah, then you'll know that's God's will, that's good. That's God's will, that's good. You know, that kind of approving. But when you think about it, you think, wow, I don't really think God's going to go around asking me to approve of his will, do you? Oh, that's very good, God, well done. Yes, yes, Lord, you're doing a good job over there. Keep it up. Which is kind of what approve tends to mean, isn't it? But when you suddenly look at the word as prove, I mean, the Greek word, if you want it, do you want it?
Yeah.
It sounds like Japanese word, something like jokimato. Or dokimato, rather. It's probably very bad Greek pronunciation, but that's literally how you pronounce it. And it means to prove or test to it, or to examine or to demonstrate something. And suddenly you realize that there's this commission from God, if you like, is not just to do the word, but to prove the word. And the commission upon the church, amongst other things, the commission on the church is to prove God's will. It's like a permanent YouTube video on site for everybody to see, which anybody can add comments to. You're supposed to be on worldwide display. Or maybe it's your Facebook page in which the entire world is your friends and can comment on the way you're living. You are to prove by the way you live and what God does through your life what God's will is, his perfect, pleasing and good will. Oh, wow. Now, that, you see, and this suddenly started to break something out for me. So how do we prove what God's will is? What do people see when they see you? It's not just those who believe the right stuff. But when people look at Eileen, because this is Eileen, because you've got to go to Eileen if you want to do Where the Spirit Studies. There she is, in white. There is Eileen. When people look at Eileen, they're going to go, oh, so that's what God's like.
Praise God.
Amen.
But they're going to look at you as well. And you. God forbid. And, no, sorry. I'd love to just put in a bit of encouraging word there. Yeah. The poor guy's dashed out of work to be here for Street Angels morning. And then he gets insulted by the pastor. But yeah, when somebody looks at you, what do they see? Well, it is. What they'll see in you is what they'll see of God, because that's all they've got to look at. But there's more. If we're going to prove God's will, how did Jesus prove God's will? Because he went around saying the kingdom of God is at hand, didn't he?
Yeah.
You see, the kingdom of God is a present but unseen reality. So somehow you've got to help people to see it. If someone's born blind, they never get the opportunity to see what the world is like, but it's there. If you're colorblind, you can't tell often the difference between red and green, but they're still there. You just can't see them. Or how about if you're born deaf and you never hear anything, but the sounds are still there? You see, if you're never born again, you never get to see and experience the kingdom of God, but it's still there. And actually, it's a greater reality than the one we're living in. Because it's the one that's going to go on forever, and this will come to an end.
Yes.
Yeah? So what was Jesus' method? Because if we've got to prove it, we need to know what his method of proving that his message was true. Okay? So let's skip on a little bit. Let's go to Matthew 4, if you're following your Bibles. You don't have to. Matthew 4, verse 23. I'm going to read a little passage. This is Jesus proving that his message is true. Or proving what the will of God is. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Okay, so he told them. Then he did it. And healing every sickness and disease among the people. Notice it says every. 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 There's never a time in heaven when someone is sick. And God's will is here on earth as it is in heaven. So we know that when somebody is ill, God's will is for them to be healed. That's it. Full stop. You can come up with all sorts of complicated reasons why they're not, but forget it. Just get on with, they're healed. Amen? And if you don't see it, you carry on claiming it, yes. Preaching that word over them, praying that word over them, until it's a reality. Sometimes it takes some time for it to work through. Daniel had to pray and the answer had been sent, but it took a while to get there. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed. He healed them. Full stop. He didn't say, what kind of a state is your life in? He didn't say, you've got this sin in your life, you need to get that sorted before I heal you. He didn't say, you're in a broken relationship, no way God can heal you. He didn't say, you're the wrong color, you don't fit in here, go away. He healed them all. And even though he came as a man, if you like, to the Jewish nation at that time, because it was from out of the Jewish nation this whole message was spread, even when Gentiles came to them, what did he do? He gave them the answer they were seeking. He healed them. Because that is God's will on earth as it is in heaven. It's good, isn't it? So if we're going to prove the will of God, God is going to use us to heal people. And to heal our nation. And to make a difference on the streets. So why are we commissioning street angels this morning? Because we're saying before God, we're sending these people out on the streets to make a difference. Violence is not part of heaven. Street crime is not part of heaven. They're not ripping up the golden pavements, if there are such a thing, and running off with them. That's the only place you could have golden pavements, so maybe they are there, you never know. Hallelujah. It's time to bring heaven on earth. It's time to bring heaven in Scarborough. Yes. Amen. And yeah, there may be opportunities to see miracles as well, and prayers answered there and there on the street. If people want prayer, pray for them. Don't say, oh, bless you in Jesus' name. Say, be healed in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. There's enough people in this room that can point to something God has done in their life where they've been restored after being ill to know that this is a reality. Yeah? Miracles are a reality in the 21st century. How do we know? Because the Word says and we see them. We preach it and we do it. Amen. Do we see them all, everything happen all the time? No, but I'm still going forwards. Because what I see is there's more and 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 more of the glory of God being released so that we can make an effective difference in this town. I don't want to go into Scarborough and say, oh, we're from the church, and then list the Ten Commandments to them. Of course, God would want people living according to his ways, but he comes first with love. First, he comes with the outstretched arms that say, I'm here for you. Yes. Turn to me. And I'll sort you out. Because so many people are trying to sort themselves out, and it's a terrible burden. And all you can actually surrender that burden to him, and he'll do the sorting. Hallelujah. God's good. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him. Why did they follow him? Because they saw him doing the word. They saw something happening. You say, oh, yes, but lots of those people left him and he was left with the 12. Yes, but a lot of them came back again at Pentecost. Yes. He was sowing the seed into the ground, ready for the right time of the Holy Spirit's reaping. This church is so good at looking at the negative and say, oh, we just had a few followers. Yes, but that's because he was preparing for when the Holy Spirit would come. Yes. Amen? Oh, I told you it was going to be a quiet time of teaching and I wouldn't get excited. Now, if that's what Jesus did, if you turn over a few pages, you'll come to Matthew 10, unless it's been ripped out your Bible. And Matthew 10 verse 1 says, exactly the same thing was going to happen for his disciples. So Jesus is teaching them, right, you've seen what I'm doing, now it's your turn. Look what he says, or look what happens. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And he sent them out. And off they went. This was their basic boot camp training.
Yes.
Go and heal people. How many people, if you've ever done basic boot camp discipleship, got to taught to have a quiet time? Jesus, first lesson, off you go, in pairs, heal everybody you find. Bit different, eh? That should be our first lesson. Better stick it in the D for Deem. The Design for Discipleship course. Hallelujah. But then you say, well, yeah, that's okay, because you're talking about Jesus. You know, he was a bit of a special dude, wasn't he? But, and then you're talking about the disciples, and they were kind of the leaders of the early church, so that's it, really. And, you know, it's not for ordinary little bods like me. But, of course, if you go on a few more pages in Matthew, you find that you get shot in the foot with that argument, because you get the Great Commission, the great sending out in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What did he command them to do? Go out, heal the sick, cast out the demons, preach the gospel. So what do we get told to do? Go heal. Go preach the gospel. Go show them the love of God. Go and show them that there's a God who cares. There is a God who wants to intervene in people's lives. But he's not going to come and trample all over them. You've got to be open to him. The whole of creation is groaning with the mess man has got it into. Way, way, way before green issues and everything else that's happened today, you'll find here in the Bible that it says that the world is groaning under the weight of the sin of man as it abuses its resources, as we overuse the resources that God has given us. But more importantly, the fact that we're intimately bound with all of creation. So as we sin, it has a negative effect on creation as well. So the whole thing is groaning, waiting for mankind, men, women, children, to turn to him. Amen? And there will come a time when there will be a mass turning to him. Hallelujah. But what bit more about commissioning? I think we better get there. But the thing is with this miracle stuff, if you're a Christian, it's written in your DNA. Because you've been born again, so you've got new DNA. Okay? You've got the impossible written into your DNA. There's something about you, isn't there, that wants to see the impossible happen. Yeah? You can get crammed into a little box and told, you know, it's not for today, and, you know, well, that happens for just a few special people. But basically, still within inside you is something wanting to scream and burst out that says, I'm made for the impossible! I'm supposed to see it. Nothing is impossible for Jesus, but he lives in me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. This is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, caused him to raise up to heaven. Don't you think the Holy Spirit wants to do a little bit of boogaloo in you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'll give you the Greek interpretation of boogaloo later. Go to Luke 7, because this is the commissioning. So we're getting on to street angels and having everybody and commissioning them, okay? This is a great story because it's about someone who's not a Jew. So he's addressing somebody who's kind of outside of the people he's come to at this point. Because it wasn't to go into all the world until after Jesus had died. So it's called the Faith of the Centurion in mind, Luke 7. That's the title the translators have put in. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically Jesus is out ministering. And a centurion, in other words, a Roman soldier or a Roman officer, the enemies really of the Jewish people, they were under domination from the Romans, and they were suffering under the Romans. It wasn't a very fair rule in many ways. And there was a centurion servant who his master valued highly and was sick and about to die. But the centurion hears of Jesus and he sends for them. And Jesus goes to go and heal this servant. It's what he does. Doesn't matter that it's the servant of a centurion. God's will on earth is as it is in heaven. But it's the people of God or the people that invite that will to be done. That's why he said, you pray on earth as it is in heaven. You pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. But you know by now, you can't just pray, you've got to do. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent some friends to him. Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. This is what I did not even consider. That's why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. Or, for I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, come, and this one comes. When Jesus hears this, he was amazed at him, and turns to the crowd and says, I tell you, I haven't found faith like this anywhere in Israel. Now the man didn't say, I know my servant's going to be healed. So where is the faith? And it's interesting that what he says is, I also am a man under authority. He didn't say, I am a man of authority. You know, as Christians, sometimes we can get a bit strutting around with, I've got the authority. Yeah, I've got authority in the spirit world. Well, you've only got authority if you're under authority. And Jesus had come as a man from God, but he, and so in that way, he was under the authority of God. It was under the authority of the Father. And the centurion recognized that. And because he understood authority, I mean, when he said to a guy, go and do this, he didn't have any more power than the other ordinary soldier standing next to him. But because he was under authority of Caesar, that guy knew if he didn't do what his centurion told him, he was probably going to be flayed alive. Or something serious was going to happen to him. Roman army discipline was pretty strict. He probably wouldn't live if he disobeyed an order from the centurion. So the centurion recognized authority. And he could see that Jesus could do what he was doing because he was acting under authority. And that is where it is so freeing when it comes to proving the will of God. Because it's nothing to do with us. We've just got to submit to God, and it's his authority that releases that healing. You know, we quite often have a healing line up the front here, don't we? A lot of services, and people, so all kinds of things happen to people. People get healed, restored, meet with God. All kinds of stuff is happening. It's not because we're in church. It's not because I'm praying for them. It's because we're under the authority of God, and he does it.
Yes.
But we don't have to do it here. We can do it wherever we go, where we take and go out under the authority. And this is what commissioning is. It's saying you are going out under authority. So as we send you the street angels out, what, they're under the authority of the local council. They're under the authority of the North Yorkshire Police. I always want to say, because they abbreviate it NYP, I always want to say the New York Police. They're under the authority of the North Yorkshire Police, and they're under the authority of the church.
Yes.
Yeah? That's good authority. That's why you can wear your jacket. If you haven't done the street angel training, you can't have a jacket. But that jacket is a very symbolic jacket. It shows that you've got authority. You can use the radio to ring up CCTV and have the police there very, very quickly because you've been given authority.
Yes.
You can do something.
Yes.
But there is one other authority you're going out as. And in this sense, of course, we're all going out as street angels. But you can't have a jacket. Or a hat. Or a t-shirt. Or the over trousers. Or the sharps. No, we won't go there any further. We're all going out because you're going to go out. And the reason we pray for you in church this morning is we're going to send you out under God's authority.
Amen.
You're going out to say, on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Violent crime is not in heaven. There's something awesome, and it's been recognized even by the Home Office, that in towns and cities across this nation where there's been street pastor groups and street angel groups, they're virtually the same thing, that crime in those towns and cities has drastically reduced, which totally not in proportion with a small group of people going out on the streets with a name on their back that says street pastors or street angels. We don't get involved in violence. We haven't got the authority to arrest anybody. And yet, it has this effect. It's more than just a group of people going out under the authority of the police and the council. It's a group of people going out under God's authority. Amen? And some of the people on the team are not people that regularly go to church. It doesn't matter. This morning, we're going to pray for you because the word we use is anoint. But it's like God appointing you to this role so that you can make a difference in Scarborough. Yes. Way beyond the significance of just who we are. Yes. And that's what's exciting about it. You know, we want to be a blessing to this town.
Amen.
It's time for the church to stop talking and praying about stuff and do stuff.
Yes.
And this is one of the things we can do.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I've totally lost where I am. Say the word. Say the word. Jesus says. Oh, sorry, the centurion says. But you say the word. What we speak, what we say makes a difference. Because we're under the authority of the Almighty.
Yes.
When you say stuff that's negative, you speak it with authority. When you say stuff that talks negatively about somebody else, you're speaking that into their life because you've been given authority. And that is irrevocable. It's there. But when you speak positively, when you speak encouragingly, whether they're there or not, you release that into their lives instead. And I tell you, that's why we keep speaking positively about going out on the streets. That we could help people get home, that the vulnerable wouldn't end up in difficult situations, that the Lord would take us to help the right person at the right time.
Yes.
That we could be in a place where something might have sparked off, and just because we're there, and the peace of God is with us, the joy of God is with us, the love of God is with us, because we're there, we're going to see a difference.
Yes.
It's not much point having a lesser vision than that, is it? This is going to be good.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So our commission, whether it's street angels or church, is to prove the will of God. A couple of other little bits that tie in with that. Acts 10 verse 38 says, Jesus went round doing good and healing all. That's what he did. 1 John 3 verse 8, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the work of the devil. In other words, anything that is not of God, Jesus came not to just accommodate, not to just put a plaster on, but to destroy.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you hear it used in the press, God hates divorce. Yes, God hates divorce. Why does God hate divorce? Because he hates the pain and the suffering that the husband, the wife and the children end up going through. That's why. He doesn't hate the people that are in that situation. He loves the people in that situation and wants to see restoration. Does God ever want to see divorce? No, but it happens, and it doesn't mean he stops loving them. God hates divorce. He hates the act of it because of the pain, the suffering it caused, and the denial of what God has done. Because when two people get married under God, he's saying, you've become one flesh. I've made you something different, and you can walk together. He hates it. But he loves the people. Like he hates all sin, but loves the people and wants them to come into the freedom that he has for them.
Amen?
Amen? Right, I better wind up, hadn't I? You're very good listeners, though. Probably seems a long time since Edward cried out, I'm a prawn again Christian. Let's look at one last verse. All right, John 14. I'm not going to say very much. In fact, I'm probably going to leave you with a question on it that you can go home and answer. Street Angels is going to be fun.
Yay.
Sandra Rees, who's one of the council officers that first really had was the driving force between a lot of what happened and of bringing Brian and myself into it together. She said, when she was trying to encourage us to do it, she said, you know, I think out of this you might get people joining your church. You know, well, I pray people would join the church through this. Because I know that it's good.
Yes.
You know, I know that I've got an awesome bunch of friends, if nothing else. People that care and love one another. Yeah? That go out and have Chinese and fish and chips two consecutive nights and get fat together. Yeah, here's the word anyway. Believe me, this is Jesus. He knows it's going to be a struggle. Look, he says, believe me when I say. You know people are going to have trouble with this one because Jesus is saying, look, believe me here. I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Well, right, okay, just about cope with that one. Or at least, if you can't believe that, believe on the evidence of the miracles. That's why I did them. Some people get a bit het up sometimes saying, well, you know what people believe in because of, you know, they saw somebody healed. Well, Jesus did. Yes, obviously he wanted them to grow and discover more, but he was up for people coming in and believing in the first place. I tell you the truth. Again, his tribe believed me. Now he's going for, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me. Now, what does that say? The select few? People that live in Israel? People that live in Timbuktu? Anyone. Anyone. You can turn to the person next to you and say, I'm an anyone. Not sure if that makes sense. But no. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. That's pretty good.
Yes.
He will do even greater things than these. Why? Because he was going to go to the Father that would allow the Holy Spirit to come and live in all these people. It doesn't just mean more things, that terms of greater. It means greater in the terms of the impact it would have in people's lives. And Jesus has had a fairly big impact. Hallelujah. You type his name in Google, you'll get quite a few cross-references. And I will do, he says after this, having told them that you will do greater things, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That doesn't just mean tagging on to the end of your prayer, in the name of Jesus. That's just religious rubbish, really. Oh, in the name of Jesus. It means you are standing, having been commissioned by him in his name. As I said, street angels, we go out in the name of Safer Communities, Scarborough Borough Council, North Yorkshire Police and the church. That's why we've got authority. But we also go out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And that is a much higher authority. Yes. Hallelujah. It's time for violence, street crime and the like to go down.
Amen.
And for there to be laughter on our streets and peace and joy. And we might only be starting in a small way, but we have a very big God.
Amen.
Amen. And I pray that this will expand to other nights and into other towns.
Amen.
As more and more people get the vision, hey, we can make a difference here. Amen. Amen. Remember, the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
And when I see people on our streets suffering, if you like, that's not God's work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right. Let's have the worship team back up again. Let's all stand up. So the way we can commission people, if you like, is to pray for them. And if you're not used to this kind of thing, let me just explain that the way we're going to pray for you today is a way that's in the Bible, and that is, when it's not anything mysterious or hocus-pocus or anything, but if I take Brian here, if you come out anyway, Brian, because Brian is the... Do you know that Brian is the coordinator of the Street Angels, do you? Not worthy, not worthy. And... Hallelujah. I'm the chair of the, what's it called? Street Angels Management Steering Committee Group or something. One of those nice friendly council names. Hallelujah. But Brian is actually the coordinator of the group. But the way we're going to pray for one another is we're just going to lay a hand like that. Now, if you don't want us to do that, if you're not somebody who's saved, just sort of, you know, hit me or something. And we'll just stand in front of you. No, I don't mean that, because you might. We'll just pray by standing in front of you. But it's just like that. And what we're going to ask is that you receive an anointing from God to go out as a street angel. That's what a commissioning is. It's a standing and ascending, because we're going to send you out onto the streets. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.